now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo and I am your host. Today I want to talk about post-traumatic stress. And this will be a follow-up to our previous program. This one a bit more advanced, because in the last program I laid some groundwork, and this time I won't lay any groundwork. I'll just get right to the nitty-gritty, if you will. To recapitulate, we humans overreact big time. And the reason we overreact is because we are a fallen race. We fell away from love and from faith. That's what happened to us because of Adam and Eve. And we're all born inheriting this fallen condition, where we are subject to the earth, subject to nature, subject to other people's influences, subject to hypnosis, subject to death, you see, and subject to the environment, and subject to temptation. See, we are slaves of ours. We can't help it. That's the condition we were born in. But some of us yearn for the truth. We yearn for the Father we've never known. And those of us who do, you can't tell us from those who have no interest in truth. You can't really tell, I mean, initially, but at a certain point you can, when we begin to make the transition. But we're all kind of mixed together. Some people have a propensity to love truth and some don't. But even the best of us, you know, you remember the fairy tale about the ugly duckling that was really a beautiful swan? Well, a lot of people are that way. And so, no matter how low we fall, as I say at the beginning of my meditation exercise, many of us have fallen very, very, very low. You know, we've taken drugs and done a lot of bad things and been full of hate and betrayed a lot of people and, you know, just basically copped out on principles, and we became just like those people that we had once hated. So that's the way we're born, and we're all kind of mixed together. And then some of us, see, so even those of us who have never been gone to war, have never been in some big trauma, you know, never been in an earthquake or a big hurricane or gone to war, or never been, you know, mugged or violated horribly by someone. And even those of us who have not been emotionally violated. See, some people are violated when they're little kids. Their parents yell at them and scream and slap them around or tell them that they're no good, they'll never amount to anything, you know, that sort of thing. But as I said, even those of us who have had none of those, who came from a good home and relatively safe background, even we overreact by nature to things. What somebody said, what somebody did, what some boy said to us, or somebody dissed us, or somebody talked behind our back, or we didn't get, there was some, you know, little unfairness. We got the highest score, but we didn't get an A, or we didn't get picked for the team, or, you know, or we traumatize ourselves with little things. You know, we miss the putt, we don't make the catch, we blame ourselves, you know, that sort of thing. Or we do silly, foolish things. We go out and drink too much, or, you see what I mean? So we suffer little traumas which can become big traumas because of our overreaction. So that's the groundwork. In other words, we all suffer from post-traumatic stress, all of us. So you take an overreacting person who overreacts even in the safest, calmest, best environment, and you send that young man or young lady off to war, or put them in a bad neighborhood with gangs and bad schools and so on, and you can imagine the traumas that result. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by typing Real Player or Windows Media Format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org. So what am I trying to say about post-traumatic stress? I'm saying that we all suffer from it, some more, some less, but we all suffer from it. And so this lecture applies to everybody. And secondly, some of us, you know, not only do we overreact because of the situation that was thrust upon us. Usually we didn't choose it. See, when you're a little kid, you don't choose your parents. You don't choose your wife to have different men come into the house, you know, and some of them are not very nice. You didn't choose to go to a bad school where there were gangs and you were pushed down and, you know, had your things stolen and so on. You didn't choose to go to, well, yes, maybe you signed up for the military. You liked the idea of the discipline. You liked the idea of serving your country, or you needed a job, or you liked the idea of the benefits, or, you know, where you could go to college afterwards. You know, those sorts of things. Those are all valid reasons. But when you got there, the chaos, the mayhem, the things that you saw, or maybe that you even had to do, or that you saw other people do, just a little too much, or a lot too much, and it's very understandable. And if you had a nice upbringing, and you never went to war, and you never had big traumas, but some things happened, you know, your dad did something, or somebody else did something, or said something, and it's caused you pain your whole life. You've never completely been able to leave it behind and forget it and move on. Well, what I'm saying is don't beat yourself up and don't keep blaming yourself. See, that's just another overreaction. See, another reaction, another overreaction. It's one thing to make a mistake, but then we add to it by an overreaction. See, maybe there was a fire, and a boy, instead of being brave, he ran from the fire. Well, so he traumatized himself by running. He saw that he was cowardly. But maybe, you know, he just, he made a mistake, that's all. Maybe if he had it to do again, he wouldn't. But he made a mistake. He saw his own weakness, but he overreacted. He resented it. He resented the fire. He resented the situation. He resented himself. See, so that adds another layer. So what's the solution, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I'm going to give you the solution, and this applies to all of us. I'm going to say that we all have access to what's called the inner light from God. You see, we humans are created in the image and likeness of God. And so we're not just monkeys or raccoons or apes. We have a soul. And this soul has access to inner light from God. And it's like a quiet well. It shines, and it's kind of it accompanies us. And it's both a protection and a guide. And it would like to lead us from temptation, see, and lead us to safety, lead us to what we were meant to do with our life. It would like to keep us from overreacting and from making mistakes and becoming subject and enslaved. It's our friend, you see. And it would lead us to a safe life, a happy life, and to our true purpose, what the good Lord had in mind for us. Well, this inner light, what happens is, we all kind of know, we know it as intuition. When you were a little child, you just sort of knew things and saw things, and you've always had it. Sometimes it's become stronger. When there's great danger present, it becomes stronger, and you feel it as something that's, well, kind of preventing you from doing something. It won't let you get on in that car, see? It won't let you go down that dark alley. Somehow it stops you, and you just don't know why. You just have a hunch not to do something. Well, that way you're safe. You never know what was waiting for you in that alley or in that car. You see what I mean? So it protects you. And it sort of would like to delicately guide you. See, guide your steps toward where to doing things that you were meant to things you should you that are that you that are good for you and that you enjoy, that are, you know, that you like. Guide you to those and to the kind of work and the kind of people and so on and so forth. We all know it's kind of there. Many of us have had experiences where we don't know how we suddenly found the right person to get married to, or how we sort of found ourselves in the right job, or how we were protected from something. And we just kind of are amazed. See, a lot of times we have narrow escapes. Well, that's the light accompanying you. Now this light, see, is there to help you, but it would like you to more and more access it by learning to live intuitively. In other words, it would like you to learn to, instead of being emotional, to delicately check with your intuition and then to move intuitively instead of emotionally. See, it would like you to always kind of check with it wordlessly in the moment. See, and if you checked with it, you know, in those delicate moments, then it might give you intuitively what to say or what not to say. For example, you know, you've all had delicate moments with your children, perhaps, or with your spouse, or with someone, and you stand there, and if you didn't become upset, and you didn't become angry, you didn't become nervous, you didn't look into your brain for some pre-digested things that you were fed, spoon-fed in school, see, or for some emotional thing, then you wouldn't say the dumb thing or do the dumb thing and make the mistake. You would just stand there, and you would kind of check with your intuition. And you wouldn't know what to do. You honestly would be puzzled. You wouldn't know what to do, what to say. Well, then maybe nothing is to be said. You just stand there, kind of quiet and puzzled and not knowing what to say. But then all of a sudden you would know, and you'd just say something and it'd be right. See? Well, that's your intuition. Okay? All right. So what I'm saying is that our intuition protects us in big moments from big dangers. And it would like to be there to protect, to guide you and protect you and lead you in the little moments. But for that to happen, you have to want it to be there. You have to want to be guided like that. But what has happened? Okay, so what interferes with that process? You know, those people who remain close to it, as I've said many times, become, see, at different levels. At one level, it can lead you to the right vocation. See? Stephen Jobs, Stephen Wozniak, Mr. Hewlett, Mr. Packard, Mr. Dolby, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Beethoven, Mozart, Albert Schweitzer, Thomas Edison. You know, the list goes on and on. I don't have to go over the... You know what I'm talking about. These people already, they intuitively found the right path. Well, then at other levels, you have people that have a beautiful life and they are led to be what they were meant to be. And then you have people, for example, like Paul and Moses, David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, St. Mark and Matthew, and those kinds of people. Well, they also, see, are intuitively, John, inspired to speak and to write. And it comes from their intuition, and it comes from God. So now we're ready to give you the last piece of the puzzle. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, That's Roland Trujillo. Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. We're talking about post-traumatic stress, how to overcome it. I've laid some more groundwork, but here it is. Here's the bottom line. Here's what you've been waiting for. This beautiful intuition that we have, that we all have, this intuition is perfectly capable of restoring you. Perfectly capable of restoring you once again. You know, like on your computer, you have a system restore. Where you're, this beautiful, beautiful intuition from God is perfectly capable of undoing your traumas, of undoing the baggage from the past. Now, how does this come to pass? Well, you need to be able to have this beautiful light from God, this intuition from God, to shine upon your traumas of the past. But what you have done is you've kind of buried them in them away, and you don't know how to see them in the light, and so I can help. So how do these things maintain without us being able to put them away for good? See, we ought to be able to put, you know, like some people say, well, I was an alcoholic and I'm always an alcoholic. No. Person could have been an alcoholic, used a lot of alcohol. See, get the meditation that I have, begin to meditate, see the reason why, just put it aside and never have a problem with it again. It's gone forever. Gone and forgotten. Baggage gone. Case closed. See, it's all over. Now only a beautiful, blessed present. See, a beautiful system restore. Now, why doesn't this happen? Well, first of all, a couple of things. First of all, we keep overreacting. See, one of the things that keeps us, that separates us from our intuition, our enlightened reason, in the first place, is our overreaction. And it's basically all we know. If we had had a parent, if we had had someone there that was strong, like a father, very calm, he would have helped us not to overreact. Yeah, we still would have been emotional as kids and young people, but it would have helped. And when you were in difficult situations, if you had very strong, very noble, very gracious, very calm people around you, calm supervisors, parents, calm leaders, see, their thoughtfulness, it would have helped to keep you from overreacting. You could have had confidence in them. But you didn't, alas. And maybe it's just as well because, all right, now you're ready to find the calming influence of all calming influences. See, because this inner light, this intuition, is from God and it leads to God. See, what's the old expression, God is my co-pilot? Well, yes, God is my co-pilot, but even better yet, God is my pilot. And he will be your pilot. See, but not by singing songs and, you know, quoting chapters and verses and looking to other people to tell you the way, but finding it for yourself. Finding this inner bond. Okay? All right. So your intuition, let's say you really and truly would like to be a better person. Not so you can just feel better, not so you can, you know, have less stress or something, but simply because you really and truly want to be a better person. Well, with that kind of a sincere attitude, if you were to get my meditation, it would help you to become still. And then you'd be able to look at your overreactions. And you'd be able to look at your overreactions from the past and observe them in the light, and the light would shine upon them. You'd see what happened. You'd see the meaning, why you overreacted. You'd see your own resentment, see, your own faithlessness. And then it would be over. Hello. Some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from. You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme. Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the time learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating on problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write, call, or email us. Or just pay us a visit at commonsensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Well, so here's what happens. You know, you've heard people say that, when they were in great danger, then suddenly their whole life flashed before them. Well, that may be true. But I say, how much better is it if we learned to, in a sense, have our life flash before us in the safety of our home and in quiet times, little bit at a time. Little tiny bit at a time, every day, just a little bit. See? So after you get the meditation, you learn to be still, you learn to be able to stand back and observe the thoughts rising. Observe the emotion, observe the thought, observe the memory, observe your own reaction, observe them in the light. See? As if you were standing back and observing, as if you were watching, somebody else, almost, as if somebody else were overreacting and you were watching it. You see what I mean? So now you see that you resented your mom. Now you see that you didn't have faith. Now you see that you were upset. Now you see how others manipulated or used you or took advantage of you or weren't there for you. And you see your own faithlessness, your own selfishness. You see all these things, but a little at a time. See, in the good Lord's time and space. Not at your time and space. Not at somebody else's with a degree behind their name's time and space. Not at some expert's time and space, but in the good Lord's time and space. See? So every day you meditate to find to center yourself, find your calm center of dignity. See? Recommit to seeing what you need to see in the light. Then you go out in the world and you'll have a little memory will come to you here, a little something there. Outside events will trigger a little something here, a little something there. You'll see it. You'll look at it. You'll observe it. See? And sometimes it'll be a trivial thing. You just see a little flash of a face, of a memory, of a time of day, of a song, of a word. It just flash before you. See? And it's kind of gone. It's been cleared out. Other times, it'll be maybe of, you hated your mom or you were cruel to your brother, or you did something shameful, or whatever. And now you see it, and now, in the light, you see it, and it brings a little bit of pain to your soul, a little bit of sorrow, a little bit of regret, a little bit of remorse, a little sadness. And your soul feels the sadness, see, in the light, see? And then it's over, see? You've been repented. The light has repented you. See? Now you had a new response. Instead of the old response of the memory surfacing and you're resenting it. See, that's the thing. In the past, it surfaced. The memory surfaced. You resented it. You resented the other person. You resented yourself. You resented God or whatever. And you tried to bury it. You resented it. Tried to bury it. You ran from it. You didn't want to see it. You didn't want to admit. See? Now you see it, and whatever response is appropriate, maybe a little regret in God's light of truth. Okay? But that's enough. God doesn't want you to be, browbeating yourself, punishing yourself over and over again. Once is enough. Once is enough. And it's not even punishing yourself. It's just seeing the truth in God's light. Okay? You remember when you were a little child, maybe you can remember if you had a good father or a good mother, you did something really naughty when you were a little child and your daddy came or your mommy, let's say they were patient and they weren't mean, they said, look what you did, what did you do? Did you hit your little brother. Yes, Mommy. Well, that wasn't very nice. I'm sorry, Mommy. I didn't mean to. I won't do it again. And you really meant it, and you were sad. And your mommy said, well, that's all right. Just don't do it again, okay? All right, Mommy. And you brushed the tears from your eyes, and you ran away happily to play, to enjoy. You see? Well, that's the way the good Lord is. He just wants you to see some things and be sorry, and then on with your life to a beautiful, beautiful future.
This is a special message for friends of the Common Sense Broadcast who don't use email but who would like to communicate with us. I would like to personally invite you to write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Send your cards and letters to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. While you're at it, ask for a free copy of our newsletter or request a free brochure. Once again, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's lecture. You should get my book, Becoming a Friend of God. I have a chapter, a wonderful chapter on post-traumatic stress in my book. And you really must get the meditation. I can't emphasize enough how important the meditation is. We have a free version. You can get it for free at our website at coachroland.com or commonsensecounseling.org or RolandTrujillo.com. Any of those will work. And then we have a full version you can order. But I have a lot of books. They're all very good. Becoming a Friend of God is very good for dealing with post-traumatic stress. Now you know the secret. Until next time, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's RolandTrujillo. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.